Hello.
Hi, I apologize, believe it or not. I
I'm sorry?
now. My sinuses are beginning to act up on me. Hold on just a second. Quit working about 3:30 today, and I laid down. Oh,
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear you're not
trying to
feeling
get my
well.
yeah, you know, especially just need some rest, get myself back together. Long with a long weekend, busy weekend. Okay, so I'm ready.
You want to do the interview now?
Yes.
Okay, if you want to go ahead, I was going to say, if you're not feeling well, we can reschedule it, but if you're ready for it, I can do it.
No, I know how you all schedules are, and I know this is we can go. I'm ready.
Okay, let me just pull up
I'm
the
sorry.
script real
I have
quick.
I was had my phone was on the on my desk, and all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, what time is it? So I never heard the phone ring. I should have had it with me. And all right, I'm ready.
Okay, I will say, so I've got a recorder on my phone, but I'm having a little trouble hearing you, so I don't know how well it's going to record. Do you want to try to do it on Skype, or do you want me to try to call you back and see if we can get a better phone connection?
Let's see. I didn't have it on the speaker. It's on the speaker now. You
Yeah, I
are
can
you
hear
want?
you more clearly now that you're on the
I'll hold
speaker.
it really, really well, really close to my mouth. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, do you want me to go ahead and read the script?
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm Hannah, and I'm an undergraduate at Vanderbilt. Thank you for agreeing to meet and talk about your experiences. As mentioned to you earlier, oops, sorry, I got a pop-up. I don't know why. Okay, sorry. As mentioned to you earlier, we will use the information you provide to write a manual that will allow for the replication of the program. We really appreciate your willingness to be interviewed. As a reminder, I will be recording this session, and the recording will only be shared with the writers of the manual. Do you have any questions before we begin?
No.
All right. I will begin by asking you about planning and implementation in the program. The first question is, what was your role on the project?
My role was project coordinator for Voices from Our America. That would be working directly for Dr. Ifeoma Nwankwo, the principal investigator.
All right.
And Vanderbilt University.
All right. Please describe your responsibilities on the project. For example, what tasks did you have to perform, and how specifically did you go about performing each task and fulfilling each responsibility?
It's quite a bit, but I'll try to. Mostly, I was to oversee the day-to-day operations of Wisdom of the Elders program in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And of course, eventually, Dr. Nwankwo had mentioned that she would like to replicate the program at some point. So I had to make sure the program that there was integrity in the program, so that we could replicate beyond the pilot site. So that meant just being sort of the lay the person that was responsible for planning, helping plan, helping implement and deliver the program as in the community, the liaison between the partners, with which meant Dr. Nwankwo's Voices from Our America, the principal investigator, Vanderbilt University, who was also a sponsor, and the community at large, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, were the funders from Murfreesboro, and through Patterson Park Community Center, where the program was held, and the workshop facilitators, which were Dr. George Smith, the facilitator for the history of Rutherford County, and Mary Watkins, the genealogist, and Dr. Barbara Hodges and Mr. Leroy Hodges, who were the visual artists. So I also had to oversee and coordinate the activities of the research associates that were assigned to work on the Wisdom of the Elders program, and Dr. Wampo's Voices from Our America Oral History Research Projects. She would assign perhaps one or two research associates to come up to Murfreesboro to help out in any way that needed, that, you know, whether it was helping set up, take down, but most importantly, taking field notes at the workshops to gather data about the participants. The activities, work, making sure coordinating the activities with the facilitators, you know, like I said, whatever they needed. Sometimes it meant just, you know, helping the participants in like Mary's genealogy workshop. Some of the senior participants did not use a computer well. And let me back up. And when I say, let me talk about the Wisdom of the Elders. It was for, it was targeting African American seniors age 65 and older to create an autobiography portfolio to tell their story creatively. And all that meant was somehow when a participant came into the program, they went through this series of workshops, like I said, the genealogy workshop, researching their family histories, and the local history workshops, which are finding historical facts and information from about African Americans in Rutherford County, that was pretty much a seminar based. It was a lot of, it was information, facts and information that Dr. Smith had gathered and he shared, but he also had the seniors to help him gather facts about their community. One was through researching the history of their church in Rutherford County, and another was finding about history of the cemeteries, facts about the African American cemeteries, and through that they also were able to clean up some of the African American cemeteries in the area. And through, with the Hodges' help, they were able to visually tell a part of their story on canvas, mostly through different form, maybe mixed media art, or just straight out acrylic painting, or using other media. And they may have told a part of their story, like what it was like to be lived through the civil rights era, or what it was like to, what was it like being educated in Rutherford County during the, when they were growing up. So that, when I said coordination of program activities, it also, that meant working with the facilitators to make sure the participants had a great experience going through the workshops and could could meet the goals and objectives that the workshop facilitators had set out. That would mean that I would work with the workshop facilitators to gather it's how they designed their program, make sure that their program did have goals and objectives, to make sure they had all the supplies that they needed, to make sure that acting as a liaison for them to Dr. Wonkwo and also to Patterson Park Community Center leadership, which would have been Tom Sage at that time. Tom Sage was the superintendent of Patterson Park, and of course his supervisor would have been someone in Parks and Rec. But initially, the first year, I didn't have direct contact with Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. The program manager over the community centers, but I knew, I was aware that the Murfreesboro community centers were the helping fund, of course, the principality of the city principality was helping to fund the program, but in 2014. The program, it was shifted from just being funded by Patterson Park to being funded by not just coming out of the Patterson Park budget, but coming out of more of a program budget out of the Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. So I did then had to start working and having communications with the program manager of Patterson Park, of Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, whose name was Nate Williams. The staff at, so the hierarchy, so the partners at Murfreesboro would have been Parks and Rec, Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, and under that would have been Patterson Park Community Center, Mr. Tom Sage. And under working in the Patterson Park Community Center, but they were all employees of Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, was Ralph Buckingham, who was the program manager. He was the youth development coordinator, but he had a slash program manager for the Wisdom of the Elders at the community center. So on his part, hopefully you all just will be able to interview him. Pretty much I was working with him on a day-to-day basis to make sure that everything that was needed to get those workshops done. He and I it wasn't day-to-day. Of course, the workshops were held weekly on a Thursday for a couple of hours, and then following that was lunch. So that meant whatever was needed to get that workshop, whether they had the series, the genealogy series or the visual arts series or the local history series were going on, that between he and I, there was always communications to make sure that what was needed when those workshops opened up on a Thursday, that everything was in place. Another part of my was data collection, and that I could work through the research. The research assistants were a part of that, in that they wrote field notes so that we could have an idea of what was going on in the workshops. They wrote from a humanistic side point, talked about, and of course that was the research about, I mean, having writing notes about the participants, what they just observing the participants week to week. I wrote from administrative part, viewpoint field notes, and that meant issues and concerns that were going on and what was needed to resolve those issues and concerns between the partnerships, meaning Voices from Our America / Vanderbilt and Murfreesboro Parks and Rec / Patterson Park Community Center. It also meant making sure the participants signed in each week on a weekly sign-in sheet that we collected every week that would help us with attendance and with, you know, with analyzing how well the participants how well they were attending each workshop, and that sort of showed a success because very seldom would the attendance was always pretty high. Even with this age group, 65 and older, and a couple of the participants were in near 80 or turned 80 in the period that I worked on the program from 2013 through 2015. Attendance was all, you know, they're pretty much there, and that was important. Also with trying to make sure the projects were finished, and the workshop facilitator should speak to that. I know they had some issues, but even though sometimes projects were not finished, there was still high attendance, and that meant a success. That this was something that the seniors really looked forward to being there on Thursdays. Budget monitoring, the small budget that was the workshop budget, especially on Vanderbilt, when Dr. Wachwall and the Vanderbilt sponsorship money, I just had to make sure that, you know, if whatever that was allocated, whether it was supplies or money for food or any incidentals, that, you know, that it was accountability for it. Clerical things, photocopying, scanning, ordering supplies and managing documentation for VFOA, whether it was mostly in cloud files for Dr. Wachwall, any files that were created, they were mostly cloud files. In vendor management, that meant managing any consultants that we use, like a photographer or any general supplies. For the lunches for the participants after the workshop, making sure we got the food, whether we ordered food or and had it delivered, or whether we had food catered for the workshops or for the extracurricular activity like the exhibition. Then meetings and events management, and that meant any meetings between the partners and staff, and events such as the exhibitions that were held at the end of the year. Usually the workshops either maybe started in June, ended in May, or February, ended in May. And at the end, in June, there was usually an exhibition of all of the participants' projects. And so those events had to be coordinated. And community outreach, and that meaning any type, being the liaison with the sort of the liaison with for Dr. Wankwo and Voices from Our America in the community of Murfreesboro. Anybody that came into the workshop and just sort of wanted to look around or media, if you know, of course with just being that person in the like the school, sometimes the school, the Murfreesboro schools wanted to partner in with the Wisdom of the Elders to have them to exhibit on their cultural African-American cultural night. So it meant being present and going to their meetings. So it was community outreach. Also, helping with the development of the promotional and marketing activities, the responsibility to promote the program was on Patterson Park in City of Murfreesboro. However, because it was there were, you know, for recruitment or promoting the exhibitions or whatever. However, I had to make sure that it did get done, and sometimes helping create even there was when 2012 when the program was a study, and Dr. Wankwo and Dr. James Powers and Dr. Turner got the funding from Meharry Vanderbilt Alliance, the community education research community grant. Some promotional materials were created, like a brochure and a flyer or whatever. But we made sure that those were, you know, that they were either recreated or revised. So from year to year, just making sure that those promotional activities happened, and making sure that Patterson Park did what they needed to do to get the word out about recruitment or about the exhibition. And also, institutional review board protocol. Of course, this is a research project, and you're gathering information on the participants. Dr. Wankwo, of course, the most important thing for her was for the participants to enjoy what they were doing and to come out with some type of great autobiography portfolio. And on the flip side for her, it was the gathering of stories, which is what she does under Voices of Our America. So the participants that came through the program were asked if they would do an interview for Dr. Wankwo's called Life Lessons, her Life Lessons interview, which was interviews about themselves from birth through like the decade of the 60s. So from the time I was there, from 2012 through 2015, we had about 35 interviews, and I only know of a couple of people that did not agree to do the interview. And actually, there was one lady that had not done it in 2012, and she did do it in 2015. So Dr. Wankwo was able to gather I can't remember the entire, but that was one of the basic premises of the Wisdom of the Elders, along with them creating a portfolio, was also to tell their story. Their life, their in which she called the life lessons. I was to assure that, you know, the IRB was already set in place, but I made sure that the protocol was followed, and that would mean that we got consent forms from the participants and to use their interviews, stories, and eventually to use their projects that they created to help Dr. Lunkwell create some type of educational materials to help tell their stories, and to, you know, of course, being put on her Voices from Our America website, like she had with the website mostly has stories in videos from Panamanian or West Indian descent, but eventually it will have stories from Middle Tennessee worldviews is what she calls it. And of course, Murfreesboro was the first site for the Wisdom of the Elders program. And another part of that would, of course, evaluation of program activities. And it was really informal. It was very, very, very informal evaluation, because there was not an evaluation plan that was set in place prior to at the beginning, like it was, because it was a study, and it was an intended to be the study part. Also, Dr. Powers and Dr. Turner conducted CDC's risk behavior survey questions. CDC's risk behavior survey questions. They wanted to find out in 2012 about the African American mental health around resilience of jump. How do you survive being coming through the Jim Crow era, the civil rights era, the voting rights eras, you know, those things that were sort of during, of course, American history, the things that African Americans had to overcome in order to have certain rights. And of course, some of the atrocities that happened prior in those times. That they were growing up after the Civil War and after slavery had ended, and then it was the next generation. And by this time, we're talking about 2012 or whatever, we're at the age of where the nucleus of the family is no longer there. People live all over the world, so you don't have family that lives like next door to each other or just down the street. For the most part, children live across the world, and so a lot of time elders, seniors are left alone, if especially if they're widowed, so, and not all of them are using computers, so they're not as connected as they used to be, so sometimes there's isolation. So coming to these workshops helped with isolation, and the study was supposed to have been designed to, you know, gather data however, it did. There were not enough participants, so there was not enough for even a base. So there. Part sort of failed in 2012. However, Dr. Wonkwell did gather some stories, and that's why, and of course, the workshops were a huge success, and that's why Tom Sage of Patterson Park invited her back in 2013, because he also realized that it was it was a way to get African American seniors to come into the community-based community center, which he had not been successful in getting African. There were not really any programs in the community center, so this created their programming for seniors. So Dr. Wonkwell hired me as the project coordinator to go up and coordinate, and I know I've just sort of like should have said that at the beginning, but when I was, you know, reading a lot of the background information that was supplied to me about the year before, 2012 or whatever, I realized there was not a program evaluation put into place. And probably for that reason is that it was only meant to be a one-time, it was funded by, you know, funded for a one-time, one-year thing, and that was it. But, and then when I came about realizing Dr. Wankwo really didn't have any intention of beyond that first year, so there really wasn't an evaluation plan put into place. However, I did create just a program evaluation, and that was just a series of questions just to have the seniors sort of, you know, the success, you know, rating the success of the program, the how well the facilitators performed, were the goals and objectives met, did they like the program, just simple evaluation. So that was put into place. And grant writing was a part of my job. However, we really didn't, the money we tried to fund, the Patterson Park Community Center's budget in Murfreesboro Parks and Rec's budget covered most everything, the materials, and of course the space was, since it was at Patterson Park, that the space, the staff on from Patterson Park were also used at, for the workshops, like the helping set up tables and taking down tables or whatever in whatever room we used. The supplies were equally funded by Parks and Rec or Patterson Park and Vanderbilt and Dr. Wankwo, a lot of in-kind donations. A lot of the things that were needed sometimes came out of everybody's pockets, the facilitators, Dr. Wankwo's, mine, you know, for incidentals and things that were needed. But what we were having trouble funding was the lunches, because no entity wanted to fund food. So we tried to write grants to, you know, from local, like the grocery stores, Kroger or Subway, anybody that offered a community-based grant for community program activities. We would write grants. However, we were never successfully funded, but we tried. And that's quite a bit of the things that I did, and hopefully I answered them well as far as my what my duties and responsibilities were. Okay.
Yes, very comprehensive answer. Thank you. So the next question is, please describe how you prepared for each workshop.
It was a matter of, everything was pretty consistent. I knew that, like, say, for the genealogy, the series of genealogy workshops, that would mean that most of the time the seniors were going into the library at Patterson Park. Patterson Park had a library that had computers there, so the seniors would go in. Ancestry.com on a subscription for Ancestry.com, so the seniors were able to go into the library, use the computer, and use Ancestry.com to look up their family, research their family histories. So the only preparation, there was really not, you know, there was really not a lot of preparation. I just had to know what was going on from week to week, and making sure, like for with the genealogy, like I said, there was probably no prep other than just being there, and except for making sure I had things like my sign-in sheet completed, making sure that there was going to be food at the end of the workshop, that sort of prep, I guess. Making sure that if a research assistant was assigned, that they were going to be able to get to work because not all students have automobiles, so making sure that they would be able to get work. And that sometimes meant transporting the students myself, making sure that, all of their workshop supplies were going to be, all of any, whether it was having the supplies like they were creating notebooks with their genealogy projects at the end of the projects to what they were supposed to have been writing their story about their families as they did research. So anything that they or printed out or whatever was placed in a genealogy notebook, making sure all the supplies were there. And then the same with the visual arts, making sure that they had all the supplies needed, whether it was the canvas or the paints or even paper towel, that, those supplies were there. But the workshop facilitator, the visual artist, Dr. Hodges and Mr. Leroy, they kept everything. Everything was either kept at Patterson Park or the facilitators kept it at their home. But so they were very responsible. So it made my job really easy. But in going into the genealogy workshop, I would have to help with the seniors on the computers because they were not computer literate. So helping Mary, myself, and when we had research assistants, we would go into the library with them to stand behind them and help them, show them how to move the mouse. And that was one of the issues. But Patterson Park did start offering a computer class, I think in 2015. However, not many of them did attend. So even in 2015, we still had people that would be at the computer, and if the cursor moved away from them and got away from them, or it jumped to another page or whatever, they would just sit there until someone came to help them. But it wasn't a lot, it wasn't a lot of preparation on my part. It's just making sure that everything that was needed on their part was there for them. But as far as prepping for meetings and everything, that would mean getting people, making sure that we had all the attendees that were aware of when a meeting would happen, and setting the agenda, making sure the agenda was, and I would send the agenda prior to the meeting, and I would communicate with everybody to see who would be attending. In preparation for the exhibition, that also meant coordinating every event, everything that had to be done during the exhibition, from the setup, takedown, communicating with the participants, what was going to happen and how it would happen, in media relations, and refreshments if needed, whatever was needed during the exhibition. But the workshop facilitators, Murfreesboro Parks and Recs and Patterson Park staff were very, they had done it in 2012. So I sometimes followed their lead, but, it would require just a little bit of adjustments to make it go smoother or whatever. And when I saw that things could be organized a little bit better, then I would, do that. But under the direction of the workshop facilitators, making sure that I didn't do anything that they didn't like. I work very well with them. It didn't take a lot of real preparation that I had to do beforehand. So, and that was a good thing. That's why I always said the doing that time being the project coordinator for the Wisdom of the Elders program never felt like work. It was always things just ran smoothly. Everybody pretty much knew what they were supposed to do. It got done, and okay.
All right, sounds good. So the next question is, on what items did you need to collaborate with the facilitators and partners? Please describe the rest of the question is, please describe how you went about collaborating with them.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The second part is, please describe how you went about collaborating with them.
Yeah, and I hopefully answered that. It was like I said, yeah. It was a matter of working with the staff, the workshop facilitators. Like I said, I never did anything that was not under their direction. Like they had in 2012, they had done it previously. So I just sort of followed their lead, listened to them carefully, and sort of developed a work plan for the activities and the responsibilities and the timeline for everything. And so between the workshop facilitators, the Patterson Park staff, which would include Ralph Buckingham at the time, the program manager. It was one before him, but he left. And working with the staff, like Cece Rich, who helped set up for lunches, making sure that lunches were delivered, those kind of things. All of those things, not any activity, I worked closely with all staff involved, and even the staff on our part, which were the research associates, assuring that they knew what they were supposed to do and communicating. So communication was really the collaborative effort, just assuring that we all did what we were supposed to do.
All right. How often did the staff meet internally, and what did you meet about?
Okay. There was really the between the partnership. We met before since the workshops were the first year, 2013, I met with Mr. Tom Sage, the superintendent, and the workshop facilitators in early January, and they told me about the workshops and what had happened. Of course, Dr. Wankwo, I was sort of the liaison for her, in meeting with them and getting the goals and objectives for what they wanted from their part. And, of course, the goals and objectives from Dr. Wankwo, what she wanted from her part, was, of course, the seniors to create that autobiography portfolio and to be able to gather the stories through the interviews. And then on Patterson Park's part, wanting to make sure that the seniors had a great experience going through those workshops and that they would come back and that they could, create a really successful community-based program, which they did in 2014. They actually won a state award for the best community senior program in the state of Tennessee. So it was, so the objectives were met on both parts. Dr. Wankwo got more interviews. The seniors got, the participants had some great projects creating autobiography portfolios. The meetings, the initial meetings at the beginning of the year before we would do the workshops in 2013, 2014, 2015, we would have a meeting between the partners in, like I said, 2013. It included Tom Sage in 2014. The initial meeting was only with the workshop facilitators because everybody knew the goals and objectives for everybody. So it was a matter of working with the facilitators. Okay, so let's meet and let's plan. Who's going to go first, who will go first, second, whether that was Dr. Mary Watkins, the genealogist, or the Hodges, the visual artist, or Dr. Smith, the local history, what order they would go in, how long the workshops would you know, the six, usually there were six week for each series, and the, of course, the time of day. And it was pretty much every consistent every year, 10 to 12 for the workshops and noon to 1 for the lunch. The workshops usually ended at, in the end of May. Sometimes the Hodges workshop would sometimes maybe go a week over, and that would usually Dr. Smith, it was pretty much based on, of course, their availability. Dr. Smith usually would go last because of his schedule. Dr. Smith and Dr. Hodges were real, they were medical doctors. So they, you know, Mary was retired, but she's, you know, so her schedule is a little bit more flexible. But sometimes the visual art projects took a little bit longer than the genealogy and the local history. Like I said, with Dr. Smith, the local history, his was mainly like a seminar. Like I said, he was mostly, he gave out a lot of information about the local history of African Americans in Rutherford County. However, he did use the participants to gather data, like I said, like their church history. Let me see. What's another question?
The next question is, how often did staff meet with the partners and facilitators, and what did you meet about? So I guess that was kind of like in the last question, it was just about the staff internally.
There were really not a lot of meetings every now and then. I mean, there would be like informal meetings every now and then. I would meet with the program manager there, Ralph Buckingham. And if we had any kind of little minor issues, like maybe the materials, they didn't order enough, something like that, or there would be some minor issues. In 2014, however, Patterson Park, the program did come under, like I said, it was transferred to directly under the programming for Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, and wasn't coming out of wholly out of Patterson Park's budget. So I had to meet with Nate Williams, who was the program manager for Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. So there was an initial meeting with him because he had to get acclimated to the workshops, because his work had been done basically with youth development. So there was an initial meeting, mid-year, when I say year, it wasn't a full year. Like I said, the workshops may have started in January, ended in May, or February, ended in May. So somewhere in the middle of 2014, Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, they took over the funding and the sponsorship wholly. And I had to meet with him, but most of the time it was that the meetings were very informal. Of course, every workshop I would have a general conversation with the facilitators, and then there was meeting to plan the exhibition that was held at the end of the year. But at the beginning, before the workshop started, usually it was myself and the facilitators. And making sure that all of the activities, from the rooms, reserving the rooms that were needed when they were needed, developing the promotional materials like the brochure for recruitment, the brochure for the program, making sure that the IRB protocols were in place. Your consent forms were gathered. We got consent from the participants. The supplies and materials, the lunches and the workshops themselves. Everything, just pulling it all together, and then at the end of the year, we sort of had a debrief. How did it go? what didn't go well, how if you're going to do, and you know, to next, can we do this next year? Will there be money? You know, if we do, what can we do to make it better? And finally, in 2015, Dr. Wonkwo became the American Studies, the Director of American Studies. So that was pretty much her. It was her out, because she had no intention for the workshop to continue continue forever at Murfreesboro. But so she had to pretty much say, okay, I need to bow out. I can't, you know, I can't continue to do, can continue to be here. So we left them with a strategic plan of how to, you know, to conduct the workshops without, that it would be a fully funded workshop from the community and not, you know, not have Dr. Wonkwo's Voices from Our America and Vanderbilt being a part of them, and that happened, and they now, but they call them African American Voices of Past and Present. So we did have the one final strategic planning meeting at the end of 2015 in June, and we left them with a strategic plan. So, all right, now next question.
All right, what materials should be at every internal staff meeting and every meeting with partners and facilitators?
What materials should be in place? It depends. It depends on, like I said, these were such informal meetings that it was really just a matter of having an agenda, making sure the agenda was that we know that we follow, you know, that here are the items we need to discuss, and that was pretty much it. There was really no formality. There were not, you know, big, you know, meetings being attended by council members from Murfreesboro, city government, you know, those kind of. Actually, we did have one meeting that the council member, Madeline Scales Harris, did attend one of our meetings in 2014 when Parks and Rec did take it over. But that, it was just, you know, everything was so consistent, and everybody knew exactly, you know, there was not anything that we had to do to, you know, it wasn't a big to do whenever we had a meeting. It was just, you know, my making sure that the meetings that I sent communicated, usually by email and by phone if I had to, that, hey, the meeting's going to take place on this date and time. And I always sent them out an agenda prior to the meeting. These are the items that are going to be discussed, and that was pretty much it.
All right. So the next question I'm a little unclear about, because I didn't write this, but because I already asked you earlier to please describe how you prepared for each workshop. So this next question is, please describe how you prepared for the workshop each week. So I think you've kind of already answered that, but if you want to elaborate.
Yeah, that's redundant. You may want to take that one off.
Yeah,
the next time you ask someone, mm-hmm. Then you can scratch one off.
Yeah, let Demetra know before she uses this interview script. All right, so the next question is, what are the additional Wisdom of the Elders program staff required to implement the program? Please give me an overall summary of their job responsibilities.
Okay, so say that slowly.
Okay.
Again.
Sorry. What are the additional Wisdom of the Elders program staff required to implement the program? So I guess who all did you have to hire to make sure?
The additional staff that were needed. Okay, so this is the program. This is a program. This was a program. This was a program protocol interview guide. So because that and definitely when you talk to people like Ariel, who was a research assistant, she doesn't need to be asked that kind of question. That's more. I probably need to go back and look at the interview, at it again. But for the additional, for besides myself, the program manager at Patterson Park, the workshop facilitators, and every phone I have is ringing. Oh, let me go. I'm sorry. Yes, and besides the workshop facilitators, the program manager, myself as a program coordinator from the Voices from Our America Vanderbilt side, the research assistants, the setup and cleanup staff there. The Patterson Park would have someone to come in after us because we were in space at Patterson Park, and sometimes the rooms would have to be utilized by other people. Whether we were in a meeting room or in the lunch room, the dining hall. So those, once we got out, you know, they set up for us, and then once we left out, they would take down. So the janitorial staff, and then of course the Sissy Rich was pretty much over like the food services person. She would pretty much order the food. I would make sure that she did order every week, and that make sure that we had the money funded to order the food, you know, her letting her know what the budget was to order the food every week. Or sometimes she even catered, because she had a catering business, so she catered the food sometimes. So it was, you know, just so that the staff was utilized there at Patterson Park. And that was pretty much the staff for conducting those workshops. So it took a collaborative effort of, you know, several of us to make sure that workshop, even though it was a 2-hour workshop, it took, you know, several people to make sure everything was done.
Okay. So can we take just a break real quick, because I need to let you know about something. So this interview has been about an hour long. So what I'm worried about right now is the file size of the recording being too big for me to download. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to hang up and call you back to start a second recording, so that way I'll have two files that are smaller instead of one really big file to make it easier to upload. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to call you right back then. All right.